Om Shanti. If you find I'm going too fast, please wave frantically at me, because I'm prone to get a little excited sometimes. I'm not an aware buyer. I go at about 5 times faster than he speaks. Yes, they can wave. Everybody can wave. We should wave anyway. Happy birthday as well. So for those of you who don't know me, this strange brother who's appeared from somewhere, my name is Matthew. I'm from GRC, Global Retreat Centre in Oxford, where I am, I think, now the original member. I went there in 1993 and just managed to get out to come to Madaban. And I've been with Baba for 20 years, all of which has been an incredible journey and a wonderful experience. How many of you are new? How many of you are here for the first time? Quite a few. Right? Good. Welcome. So one of the things that Baba mentions in the Murli quite regularly, that it's easy Raja Yoga. Does everybody find it easy? The thing is also, Baba has a wonderful sense of humour. It can be easy, but depends on us really, doesn't it? So what we're going to explore this evening, with some experiential processes at the end, is the ABC of Easy Raja Yoga. And it's something, all the things that I'll share with you this evening are things that I've been playing with myself, because in order to make our Brahmin life exciting and interesting and intoxicating, we have to be a little bit creative. And so it's always a good idea to explore lots of different processes to enable us to have a rich and varied Brahmin life. And also, as Daddy was saying in a class today, you know, to do service means you can go and share the jewels with somebody else. And so it's useful to us if we understand the easiest ways to have yoga, to experience a wonderful spiritual life, and share it through our drishti and through our virtues, through our qualities with others, so that they also feel inspired to maybe take up a spiritual life. But to enable us to do that, we have to be radiating to a certain extent the jewels that we've taken. And so it's important that we also understand how they work for us, so that we too can have experiences. And one of the things that I was interested in was really that if we work in the way that Baba wants us to work with what he gives us, service is actually a very natural process. Once we've understood enough of the knowledge to allow us to have yoga, then automatically a result of that yoga should be that our dana, or our expression of virtues and qualities, is apparent to everybody on our faces, as Baba said in the blessing the other day, and that then results in service automatically taking place. If we're looking a bit miserable, then something's wrong somewhere along the line. And so in order to attract others, and also to attract Baba to us, it's important that we learn a few techniques, if you like, so that we are really taking the very best that we can from our spiritual life. One of the things that I've been particularly interested in looking at is this word meditation, because, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I've ever heard Baba mention the word meditation. Has anybody heard Baba mention the word meditation? Which is interesting, isn't it? Because meditation is really the key, I suppose, to our experience of the way that we see it and the way that we maybe sell it as something that others can partake in. But I think this is really, in a sense, the stumbling block that doesn't enable us to make it easy Raja Yoga. Because Baba actually uses the word remembrance. And remembrance is a lot different than meditation. Remembrance is actually a very natural process. If you are blissfully in love with somebody, and have you all been in love with somebody, blissfully in love with somebody? Yes? what happens, the remembrance is there very naturally. You're always constantly thinking about that person, whatever you're doing, wherever you are. And that's the kind of relationship that Baba's inspiring us to have with him. And maybe it's a little difficult because we've been body conscious for 2,500 years. And so somehow or another we've got to reverse that process so that we can have this wonderful, intoxicating, beautiful, loving relationship with God and take the benefits from that and bring it into our lives and share it with others. So to enable us to do that, what is A, B and C? Well, please excuse me, those of you who aren't English by origin, because obviously it'll be different in your own language, but A in English is for awareness. So just juggle it around a little bit. And awareness is the key to the rest of the understanding working correctly. And so that awareness is actually based on knowledge, the awareness that we have. Previously, the awareness that we had was actually based on our experiences, being body conscious and the vices, and that's the awareness we operate from. And so we see the world through that filter, through those physical eyes, and we operate accordingly. And we also bring up the sanskars that are relative to that kind of behavior. But Baba's teaching us now a different awareness. And that is that awareness is a very slippery and very subtle awareness. Because Baba is telling us that we're actually non-physical, that we're a spiritual entity, a point of light, eternal. And that everything that we have and that we see is transitory, temporary, changing. So when I'm working with this model, what I'm doing is I'm actually feeding myself the information so that I can start to understand, this is the first step of awareness, who I really am. And it's so simple, isn't it? This is the first lesson, but it's always the lesson that comes up continually through our journey. Whether you've been with Baba for 10 minutes or 10 years, we always come back to this, to work with the question, who am I? And sometimes we have the opportunity to really go into that in some depth, and sometimes our intellect just won't handle it, and because it's still caught up with the grossness of the old model that we're using. And that's not a problem because, you know, that's what our journey's about. And so one of the things that, well, out of a number of things that I like to share with you this evening, that practices that I use and have adopted over my journey of 20 years, finding that in the beginning I used to give myself a good hiding now and then because things weren't working properly for me. Do you beat yourselves up spiritually from time to time? Yes, a few nods. And that's something that we've really got to get rid of because it doesn't work. We've got to really be very loving, very tolerant with ourselves. And so the vision that I must have of myself is, in actual fact, that I am a child. And what do children do? They grow, but they also play. And playing is actually the most wonderful experience to balance up both the creative and intellectual side of our consciousness. When we're playing, we're in a very natural space. And Baba's pointed out many times that this is actually a game. And what happens is that we lose our awareness when we forget that it is a game. And really, in a game, it doesn't matter if you win or lose, because you're playing. When we think about winning or losing, we don't enjoy the game, we don't play anymore, it becomes a competition. And some of you may have done sport or whatever. I used to play squash, and it was always, I did my best to win. But what I found was that there was always somebody better that comes along who absolutely thrashes you. And so I adopted a different attitude in that. I just raised my game. And so I enjoyed the game, I enjoyed the challenge, but it wasn't about winning any longer. It was about actually getting the best out of myself. So in the spiritual game, it's the same, because all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of challenges are coming our way. We call it Maya. And it was interesting, yesterday we were sitting in the back of Pandav Bhavan having tea on the terrace, and some of you may have been there last night, but there was a lot of monkeys around, and they were all perched on the side there, and they were quite, you know, quiet and just looking around. And after a while we became a little bit complacent of them. You know, they weren't doing anything, they were just sitting there, they weren't being a nuisance. Nobody had chased them off, and they were quite close. And there was a sister there, who shall remain nameless, she may be here, who had a nice bowl of pomegranate seeds that she'd lovingly taken apart to give to the Nawasis downstairs. And she put it down, and we were all lulled into this false sense of security sitting there. And all of a sudden this monkey moved like grease lightning straight for the pomegranates. And they had them and it was off. And Maya's a bit like this, isn't it? You know, we invite her in, sort of drop her a nut or two occasionally. Oh, she's not a bother at the moment. And next minute she's stolen something. And so, you know, that's part of the game. So A is also actually for being alert, for being awake. You can put many things down, you can go through the dictionary and play with these things. That's the wonder of Baba's knowledge, because everything is actually spiritually interconnected. Brahma Baba used this technique when he was out walking, when he was with the children, when they were playing games, badminton, or anything like that, to connect everything that was happening to a spiritual basis, because actually what is driving us is our spiritual basis. So when we're working with awareness, what we're doing is really understanding the origin of my being, a soul being what I am, the expression of myself, is actually coming from this seed that is I, the soul. And it has been expressed in my qualities, in my specialities, it's been expressed in my vices, in different ways. When I'm playing with this, then I'm enjoying the game and using it to my advantage in order to win the game, because ultimately, at the end of the day, there are a very small amount of players, because the majority are actually the audience. You are the players. But in order to keep on the top of the game, you have to be fit on all levels. You know, we're not here on a sprint, as you most likely know. Some people thought that destruction was going to take place in 76, and then some people also thought it was going to happen in 2000, and we're still going. And we don't actually know how long it will take, but it is a marathon. And I used to also do some half marathons, and I trained up for one in particular that I hoped that I would complete. I didn't expect to come anywhere near the winning post, but I did hope to complete the half marathon, and I got myself very fit for it, in condition, and I paced myself, and I was actually going beautifully, and then halfway round I got a stitch, and I just couldn't go any further. And so all the people that I'd passed steadily with this half marathon came cruising past me, and I was just walking along holding my side. And so, you know, it's we don't know what's going to happen. We have to adjust and adapt. Another couple of A's for you. Constantly adjusting, being flexible, maneuvering around things. This is what Baba calls flexibility. Flexibility and tolerance doesn't mean to say that I just go along with everything that's happening, but that I adjust my sanskars to what is happening. And one of the things that I picked up on last year for myself, and just to give you an idea of sometimes how long these things take to work through, but to see how I could put myself in a position spiritually that I felt that I was comfortable with my effort and that I was making progress. and what was the blockage? And the awareness came eventually that something that I used to share with others, as something that happens to all of us, I suppose, is that we are actually selfish. And it's not a criticism. You know, don't get me wrong, I wasn't beating myself up about it, but it was an observation. And I often share this with new students because it's a very important observation, because when we see where we are and what is driving us, what is our motivation, we are actually empty. And that creates this selfishness. And so what we're doing is we are feeding off different things to enable us to have some sort of power, some sense of well-being, some sense of self-respect. It might be our work, it might be our friends, it might be our relatives, our special relationships, things that we do, our specialities. We use them. You know, I've got many specialities that Bubba's given me and I've used in my Lokic life. And what I found is that I was using lots of them, but I was also taking from them. Whether it's making music or cooking or something, you know, you're feeding off subtly, if not grossly, off the praise that you're getting from others. Because you're needy, and it fills you temporarily. But what this also does is it actually, what I found for myself, is that it didn't allow me to take naturally from Bubba, because I was actually drawing from other sources. But what was also interesting that I noticed was that because I was doing my best to give as well and to operate from that space, because that's what we're here to do. After all, Brahmins are bestowers, and so if you're not giving, if you're not serving, then you're in the wrong place. So we are serving to the best of our ability, but what we're also doing is we are taking blessings, which is one of your B's. And they're coming sometimes not necessarily grossly. Someone praising you and saying, oh, thanks, that piece of cake was fantastic. Or as people came up and said they enjoyed very much the music and slideshow the other evening. And as the Madam Animosis would say, thank you, Baba. Deflecting that, but at the same time maybe taking a little bit of that praise. But of course, there is power coming from that also. And so as you fill up a little more, then you start to feel more comfortable with yourself. And what that enables you to do, and this was the very interesting observation I made in myself, was that I didn't have to think about taking when I was giving any longer. It wasn't about what I received, it was just about giving anyway, it didn't matter. And it's a bit like, you know, Christmas when you're with the Lokics. You know, you hand over your present and you're sort of waiting there, you know, where's mine? What have you got me? It might not be gross, but there's a sort of subtle expectation, isn't there? What's my present? And now, you know, what we're learning, and that subtle awareness of that giving, is that I'm a bestower and I take directly from Bubba. So let's move. Actually, stone A for a second, because I couldn't find a Hindi equivalent word for C, but certainly for A there's Atma. And B, yes, Bubba, of course, but B is for being. Being. Which is really about the Dharma, the implications and the experience of having the awareness that I've already taken on. So the easiness is just to actually create the awareness of who I am. Because it's a very subtle thing, but I can only think one thought at a time. So when I introduce the thought into my mind that I am the soul, why can't I hold it? Why am I rejecting it? It's most likely because it's not quite as interesting as thinking about something else. So it slips away and the thought comes. Or I don't have the ability to concentrate and hold it. So the awareness ties up with the being, because what I've got to ask myself is, why am I here? This is a question that I regularly ask myself to consolidate the reasons that I'm here and do something about it. Why did I come here in the first place? You know, why did I come to Baba? What is my aim and objective? You know, like we have the Lakshmi and Narayan model up there, but do you think that's a little out of touch for you? It's not real? Why are you here? What did you come for? And I came here, I think one of the main reasons for myself was to be happy. Not just to be happy because I'd had a drink or been to a party or got a new car, but to have a happiness that I could maintain and sustain and keep with me, regardless of what was going on around me. And also to reach my potential. But equally, another thing that I've discovered on my journey is that I was here because, and I wasn't religious at all in my life, or I went to church and everything, but to have this relationship with Baba, this very unique and special close relationship of somebody who will love you as you are, totally and unconditionally. I don't know about you, but I've never found a human being like that on my journey, maybe at the beginning. And so in actual fact, what is very interesting in this, the awareness, is that every soul in the world, every single soul, is looking for God. Because we've all been with God. And we've been with God the closest. And yet we've been away from God for the longest. So it's very interesting, isn't it? And so once we clarify for ourselves those reasons, then I'm here as a student. I'm here to learn. This is Hogwarts. You've seen, you know, the magical wizard, the boy wonder, the magician. We're all in the magic palace. We're in the school where all the illusions are coming at us and we've got to work out what's real and what's not real. And we're learning that wizardry, those skills of spirituality. And we're being taught by the master, God himself. So when you're starting to feed these ideas into your awareness, then you can start to be it. How are you walking around Gyan Sarovar? Are you walking around thinking, I'm from France? You know, I'm this body, I'm 40 years old, I'm married, I've got two kids. Is that how you're walking around? Are you walking around thinking, that's my part, or was my part, and I'm a soul, I'm Baba's child, I'm a student, I'm an angel in training. I'm sitting here in the center of my forehead, playing out this role. A is for actor. I'm an actor, playing this part. This soul is playing the part of Brother Matthew, who's played many parts during this one life, all kinds of different roles. And now he's learning his real role, his real part, his true part. And it's fun, it's a game. So when I start to bring awareness and pull it into being, then I start not only to connect to the experience, but I start to remember it. It's a recalling process. We don't have to worry about meditation. Forget the word meditation. Throw it out. It's too complicated. All we're doing is just creating a real awareness of who we are and being in that space. Very easy if we think of it like that. Of course, the reasons why it isn't is because we forget. We go back to sleep again. And Baba has to keep waking us up. So there are a number of tools that Baba gives us. One of the things that I like to do, and some people have asked me to do it here sometime before I leave, is a Merli technique workshop, which I've now termed Milking the Merli, where we draw out all the wonderful tools that we can to really get the maximum out of the Merli, because the Merli is our food. Really. You know, they're so deep. What Baba's giving us. And you can go you know, I was studying this morning, and I was working with Amelia, and I was also churning this talk this evening, and I was just thinking, this is absolutely amazing what Baba gives us, really. And we're just scratching the surface. It's just really so deep. That's why it's called the ocean, I suppose. And so the awareness means we have to immerse ourselves in this consciousness. I'll give you a little question. You go to the dentist. You know what the dentist is like. We go along there. And we take a Merle with us because we think, well, we're going to be in the waiting room for half an hour, so kill some time. And actually, when you get into the dentist, there's a crowd of people there. And on the side are all the magazines, yeah? All these glossy magazines you have in your countries, like Hello. We have Hello in the West. It's like full of all the stars and glamour and everything. And you sort of see it there in the corner. And these people all chatting in some lockic talk and atmosphere. And you see a Merle on his side there. And you sort of, so what do you gravitate towards? Are you going to read your Merle? Or are you going to think, oh, well, just have a look and see what they're doing. What's Beckham up to and posh? You know, it's like so easy for us to slip back. And this is this another word, if I haven't used it already, alertness. Alert. To be alert. Because every time I slip back, then I stop being again. But not to get into conflict with this, because it's not actually a battle. Baba calls it a battle. But it's only a battle if we want to fight and we're non-violent. It's not up, you know, we've got to lose that violence, that confrontation. What they used to do in the early days, I don't know if you know, I used to do martial arts, but the martial arts originated as a form of avoiding violence from others in monasteries. We may have been us, ourselves, you know, on a previous birth, some monastery up in the Himalayas somewhere, when the marauders used to come and looking for things to ransack and steal. And so the monks learnt these defensive arts in order to deflect the aggressive power of these people that came. And these became the basis of the martial arts. And what they use is the enemy's own energy to defeat themselves. And what we tend to do is we use our own energy to defeat the problems that come at us instead of Baba's energy. We don't deflect it, we face it head on. And Baba uses the analogy of the mountain. What do? You chisel through the mountain or do you go round it or over it? You know, there are options. So when we're confronted, again, it's the game. What, you know, Mike George has got something that he was telling me about because I was saying about some problem I had. He said, look, for every problem, there are seven solutions. Mike likes lots of sevens. There is a significance to seven, I think. And he said, there's seven solutions. So every time you have an obstacle or a problem, just write down seven options, seven alternatives to the thing that you have in front of you. And you'd be amazed. Because what we're doing with this awareness is we're stepping outside of the box and back to the playing aspect. When we step outside of the box, very naturally involving everything, we're being very open, we're being very receptive, we're being very accommodating to everybody and everything. And this is very important, especially for Brahmins in centers with sanskars, to, you know, to be accommodating and loving to all. Like Baba saying in the Merle on Sunday, beautiful Merle about the sanskars of others. And sometimes we have to learn this the hard way. But, you know, what really I'm doing, and again, this is, you can see how important awareness is because we hardly got into being yet, but the awareness of the fact that I am generating my own vision. Have you taken that on board? You know, that's such a huge spiritual truth, isn't it? You know, when I think about that for myself, but the time to use it, of course, is when the person in front of you is pushing your buttons or giving you a hard time. or seemingly so. So how am I going to respond to this situation? And the only choice I actually have in this game is drama, because we know it's fixed, is a choice of response, and then after that it's fixed anyway. So how am I going to respond? If my awareness is right, and you see this in the seniors, you know, the response is accurate to the situation. And then we don't lose power, and we don't create any karma or any disturbance. And we keep that friendship and that love. And so the big thing that must drive us now, and Bubba's really pushing this, is that we must be very loving. Because within that love comes all the things that we need to enable us to progress in our spiritual life, acceptance. And it's about attitude. Creating the right attitude, which is very close to awareness. The awareness gives me the basis of it, and then the attitude follows it. And then being very naturally comes about, because when I'm in that space, what it requires me to do is to step back. Because I have to be detached. And Sudesh Ben gave a beautiful analogy of detachment, which I heard in a class when I was listening to in my room. But detachment means to be uninfluenced. Because we get caught up with a detachment, don't we? Especially if you're very family orientated. Because this is a family, and many of you come from countries where the family is very important. And so this sense of be is also for belonging. Do you feel you belong to a family? So connecting that up with awareness that I belong to a family, I'm part of a unit. God is my father and mother, and these are my brothers and sisters. I'm not on my own. And it's crucial to keep this in my awareness, because it's a tangible experience for me. You know, one of the things that I often share with people who say, well, Brahma Kumaris, you know, they're just a cult like anybody else. What makes them so special? I say, well, come to India, to Madhaban, and see. Because when I first came here 19 years ago, I was just gobsmacked that so many people from so many backgrounds, so many age groups, so many religions, so many countries, so many cultures could all be sitting in the same room together listening to this one person who said they were God. And I, you know, it didn't take much of my intellect to work out that this was an almost impossible feat to pull off unless you were God. Have you ever seen anything like that anywhere else? I've seen people come together in other organizations and groups, but all following the same timetable, the same discipline, the Murli, and the things that Bubba asks us to do, to our extent, number-wise, of course. It is amazing. So we've got to ask ourselves, you know, who's running this show? And things are changing dramatically in the Agya. Some of you are new, and you haven't even met Daddyji. You haven't had that opportunity. And so what's happening, and I know in my service field that everyone is moving up a notch. You wouldn't see me sitting up here doing the talk, so something must be happening. But no, to be realistic, the souls that are the entourage that have grown up with Daddy and her support are now having to go out and do many of the things that Daddy did. And they've come to your countries, no doubt. Sister Amanda from Oxford has been around quite a bit. Because there's a new direction taking place. And so we've got to grow up very fast. All of us. We can't play the games anymore of tantrums and childish behavior, because it's not time for that anymore. We haven't got that luxury. So it's clear that we must decide what we want to do and make that decision, and then with that determination and dedication, a couple of D's thrown in for good measure, we start to all pulled together as a family, and Bubba has been on this case ever since I heard my first Verli about unity in the family, because that's what will give us power. And it's actually an individual effort on our behalves. You know, I have to make the individual effort to come close to the other souls. And that's not just the Brahmins, that's everybody. You know, I have to put my stuff to one side and start to see how I can gravitate towards others and be very inclusive and accepting and loving. Because when we start to do that, then we will generate such a powerful energy that people will realize, as Bubba has said in many Merlis, that God is running the show, that he's behind it. And then they will come. And then it will be the end. But that's the work that is necessary now. To enable me to do that, I have to be it. This is not an intellectual exercise that we've been taught here. This is an experience. And unless we're actually feeding it into our experience, we're actually being it, then it's not real and it's unsustainable. Because many of you are professionals and you have many skills, life skills, and they support your life in different ways. Some of you may be lucky enough to be doing outside jobs that you actually enjoy doing, that you've trained for, that you've put years of work into. And so you're getting the result of that. And the same thing applies here. There's no different. There's no sort of magic going on here. It is very grounded, as Bubba said. This is practical Raja Yoga. It's about cause and effect. What I put in, I get out. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to get out what I put in today, tomorrow. As we know, we're constantly living amidst the consequences of our past actions. So when I'm being, it's about my dana. It's about what I wish to receive in return for what I give out. And what do you want? What do we want? We want to be loved. We want people to like us, to be happy with us, to accept us, to acknowledge us, to respect us. And so we have to do it, because we are the bestowers. And that requires my awareness to be right in the beginning. Because if I'm doing a number on myself, well, then that's what people will feel from me, and I will get that back. So awareness, as you can see, is absolutely crucial to my whole existence. And so when I start to implement this awareness, and I accept, another A, that what Bubba has said of me, who I am and what I am, I accept it, I acknowledge it, and I implement it, then I will be it. But if I can't buy into it, then it's going to be very difficult for me to be it. If I have a big issue with self-respect, and Bubba keeps saying, look, you're an angel, you're my child, and I said, no, I'm some horrible little Shudra. And I keep making lots of mistakes, and I'm very nasty. You know, then that's going to be my awareness, and I'm going to be like that. And what I do myself in my own effort, I have two levels of effort that I work with, or process. And one is long-term change. I try to keep a vision of myself that I would like to achieve over a period of time, which is a long way off and it requires quite a bit of work. And the other one is short-term change, incremental change. Because to enable us to be, we've got to start to develop certain behavioral patterns that change our sanskars. You know, you've got the model, the mind, the intellect, and the sanskars. Have any of you tried to give up addictions like smoking or drugs or things like that? Yes. We all have, haven't we? And I've been the smoking route. I was smoking from the age of 8 to about 35, and I was on 50 a day. and it was a big problem to overcome. I wasn't a Brahmin, but I had to implement some pretty radical changes in my life to get rid of it. But I have to want it enough to get rid of it. So if I want to be what I've put out as my long-term model that I want to achieve, then what am I prepared to do to enable me to achieve it? And that's where we fall, because we still, you know, holding on to certain things that we were not prepared to let go of. In my case, it was dramatic. I had to let go of a certain crowd of friends. You know, they were the boozing, drug-taking, girl-chasing type people, and, you know, I didn't want that type of life anymore. And so I said, sorry guys, I've got to go over here and do something else now, and it's quite radical. But it was absolutely necessary for me to transform my life, because I was in a position where every time I went back into that, I just didn't have the power to do anything. And then I started mixing with company that was conducive to transformation. I became a Hatha Yoga teacher. I started to mix with people who are into changing their lives in a big way. And with that comes support. And that's what we get in the Brahmin family. And so Baba asks us to do certain things. And one of those things which he actually places a lot of emphasis on, and I've been implementing that since I came into Gyan, sometimes with a lot of difficulty, but it's always proved to be one of the most important things in my Brahmin life, and that's Amrit Vela. Because, you know, it's a funny time of the day, you've maybe gone to bed late, you're worn out. But if you can get up, I really do believe that you get the maximum power to transform yourself at that time. It's essential to build it into your program. A for Amrit Vela. And then, you know, you try Amrit Vela here. It's very easy here, isn't it? Have you noticed? Haven't got anything to do. So no, you don't have to cook anything. You don't have to do any cleaning. You just have to get to bed in good time, get up very naturally, and go and sit there in front of Baba. And Baba's place is here. It's just so powerful. I'm lucky to be in Pandav Bhavan, but you can even sit at the Tower of Peace with all the noise going on, and you just feel the energy cutting through it all. And so this is the time to take that power. And then you can actually be very easily, and you then start to develop that sanskar of it. You get a taste for it because it's subtle. You get a taste for the subtlety, the experience. And then you come to see. You connect. See is for connection. Connecting firstly with yourself. Because the problem, that the other things were not problems, but the reason that the other things draw us away is because I'm not connecting with myself. You know, if you ever do a meditation class with people, what you often show them is, well, there's the soul in the middle, and it's been on a long journey. You remember this thing? And it sort of fills in all these experiences, sort of start to cloud the soul. And you get further and further away from the origin, and the meditation is allowing me to cut through. But that's where the problem with meditation is, because it means that I've got to somehow work through those layers. So it's not going to be easy to connect. That's where meditation, as we see it, doesn't work. And Baba's saying it's easy Raja Yoga. It's remembrance, it's connection, it's union. And so that's all we have to do. We just have to take our thoughts straight to the core. And it takes practice. You know, I loved music. I play music now, and I do some music for the university. But when I first started and I was playing as a youngster at school and everything, I was always playing pop songs and things for the other school kids, and to entertain them. I seem to have got into an entertaining role in this life. And my parents said, well, you should really learn to play the piano properly. So they sent me to a teacher, And of course, I don't know if any of you play the piano or have played, but to enable us to play the piano properly, you've got to go through horrible things called scales. Yeah? You know what scales are? Da 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 da. You've got to learn all the fingering. Because if you don't, you know, when you come to play something, your fingers all sort of get caught up and you can't play the piece properly. But the trouble was with me is that I had what's called a good ear in music, which means that after I'd heard it 2 times, I already knew it, which is a disadvantage when you're trying to learn music, because I was just going, duh, 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 and the chap would take away the music and he would still be playing it. And I never, as a result, never learned to play the piano properly, which means that if a piece of music is put in front of me, it's like Chinese, it means nothing. And I also developed all these bad skills of playing which actually don't allow you to get the maximum out of what you're doing. So when we're connecting, it's the same thing. We've got to have these skills that enable us to practice these skills that enable us to connect. And at first, they're not going to be easy. You know, what we're looking for is what I call the McDonald's syndrome. You know, you go into a McDonald's anywhere in the world and you hand over your money and you get the burger. And the burger is the recipe that is McDonald's have made that is served up everywhere, whether you're in Jakarta or Japan or anywhere, you know, Russia. It's the same burger. And we've almost got into that mentality that we want the instant thing. You know, let's have the burger. Here's my money. Let's have the burger. And we do the same with Raja Yoga. But it's like the piano skill. I've got to start to practice. And then I can connect. So, just to sort of round off a little bit, because in a moment we'll practice this in the first 15 minutes of the meditation. So A is for awareness, B is for being, and C is for connecting. Just to throw in a couple of others. We won't look at them in much detail, but they're also connected. D is for doing, cause and effect. Because the principle of what we are becoming is that we put it into activity, into action. That's what we're here to do. We can't stay in this world without action. So if I see that, I'm aware of myself. I become soul conscious, you know, and that takes practice. I've got to go into that experience and hold it and sustain it, and it will drift off. You know, it's like Baba says, this knowledge is like mercury. You know, it just slithers away. And what holds it is purity. So if we're having a problem with our purity, then it's going to be very difficult for us to have yoga. That's the bottom line. And actually, if we're having good yoga, then we should be extremely happy. So E is for experience, expression. It should be there on my face. And so sometimes we can come to the understanding that we are having a problem with our yoga collectively. And I think it's true, because we're not that intoxicated. We're intoxicated and we're enjoying Baba's knowledge, and we like being here, but our yoga isn't as good as it could be. And so we really need to look very deeply at why that is and what we intend to do about it. Because it's actually the yoga that is going to change everything. Nothing else. You know, we've got to clear off our garbage, and that's done with yoga. If we're not having yoga, we've still got the garbage. Some ideas to play with. And just enjoy it, you know, enjoy it. Life is about enjoyment, that's your E. You know, there should be some sense of intoxication coming out of us. You know, it should be that feeling when you're reading Baba's Murli or you're studying. You're being creative. being expressive. You know, we don't have to go into a small room and lock ourselves away. Not in the Brahma Kumaris. That's not what it's about. Because we're here to serve the rest of the tree. So how are we going to do that? As I said earlier, it's a natural process. So what you get is Baba gives you the knowledge, which is your awareness, to enable you to have the yoga, which changes your sanskars, which is expressed as your dana, the manifestation of that power that you've taken, and that is automatically service. It doesn't mean to say I have to rush off and decorate a stage and get speakers in and, you know, print out leaflets and, you know, run around like a lunatic. Right, we've got the program ready and everything's going on, you know, I've read the service is done and you're all angst and uptight and, you know, something goes wrong. Well, that's not service. As Daddy said today in a class in the morning, it's sharing what you have taken from Baba. And the best way to share is through your stage. What you've taken. Because otherwise what happens is this, excuse me being a little crude, but what happens is that we get spiritual constipation. We take in lots of stuff, but it doesn't go anywhere. And so we end up sort of bloated with all this knowledge. And then we do the evangelical bit, you know? Any of you been in the Jehovah's Witnesses or know them? They're these people that come push their way into your house and spout all this religious stuff for an hour's on end. And we tend to do the same thing. And this is a sign that we're actually, it's an intellectual exercise, but it's going no further. It's stuck. And what's necessary here is that I get it moving. I need a spiritual laxative to get it moving. Because, you know, what happens when things get stuck is it gets polluted. The energy becomes dead. And so we must, you know, this is why Daddy Jenki is like a mine. You know, you see her. She's so intoxicated, this energy that's flowing through her, sharing Baba's power, Baba's knowledge, everybody that's there. Daddy will give class to you if you're in the back of a car. Daddy will give class to you if you just catch her walking. You know, she collared me once in Gyan Sarovar, and I saw her coming. I knew what was going to happen, and she was upon me, and I got a class, you know, about something. Because she's like that. She wants to share everything that she has, because she's taken so much benefit. It's a sort of generosity of spirit. I think that's enough for now, yeah? We have some yoga. And let's try it out. Shall we try it out? See what happens for 15 minutes? So maybe, just before you start, you'd just like to stand up and have a stretch. Because we've all been sitting there, we might be drifting off into a nice little space. So just stand up and stretch right up to the ceiling with your hands, as if you're trying to reach those lights at the top there. Get right onto your toes, take a very deep breath, right onto your toes, breathe out and put your hands down, and do it once more. Down again, hands down, and up again, and a little bit higher this time. You know, you're reaching for the ceiling, you're expanding the spine. That's it. Deep breaths, right in, get the lungs filling right up, so that you're awake and alert. Excellent. Sit down and let's have some yoga or some remembrance. So what we need to do to start with is, it's always back to basics. You know, no matter how long you've been a BK, it is absolutely irrelevant. We're always, even the daddies are giving themselves the course over and over again. And so don't have that arrogance of thought that I've done all this before. I always go back to basics all the time with myself, because that's where the lessons are. And it's in the basics that we actually sometimes find that the mistakes have been made. So the first thing is to sit upright, comfortably, not slouching, because our good yoga is also dependent on posture. It's one of the body is like a transmitter receiver. So if you're slouched around in this sort of half sleepy yogic position, giving drishti out of one eye, it's not very likely that anybody's going to have a very powerful experience. So if we get upright and just to be aware of here in this room, that's all, because that's all there is. Do you realize that? There is nothing else except for this moment. So be aware of it. Be absolutely present. Just try it. Acknowledge everybody in the room. They're part of your family. It's a collective energy. And what we're going to do is we're going to create a very powerful collective energy by bringing all our thoughts into unison to create a collective experience. So prepare to take off, okay? But that requires concentration and focus. So absolutely present. Don't worry about the mind wandering, but just say, yeah, there's people here. Somebody's coughing. I can hear the translation. Things are going on. That's fine. So the next thing is acceptance. Accept whatever is. Someone's making a noise somewhere. You might not like the drone of my voice, but it's the cycle, it's the drama, it's happening. So accept it and let go. Just let go. Accept where you are. What has happened to you? You might have had a big Maya attack this morning, but in Madaban that can disappear in 2 minutes because God's running the show. So let go and let Baba in. So awareness of being present, and now let's be aware of myself, drawing my attention to myself, to my physical body. Check that the body is relaxed and comfortable. If it's not, just tense and release hands, arms, shoulders, feet, buttocks, thighs, anything that's tense, so that your physical body does not pull you at all. Now drawing inside, start to pull inside. Be aware of the body, but I'm sitting in the center of the forehead, looking out through the eyes into the room. I have thoughts, I'm aware of the thoughts. I'm accepting the thoughts, but I'm not allowing them to go anywhere. They're just finished. At the moment, I'm just in the moment. Feel the body becoming very heavy, starting to detach from the body. It's almost a sense of separation. Feel yourself that it's not your body, it's just something sitting there. Be aware of that experience, acknowledge it and accept it. I am not the body. I have a body. It is temporary. I am living in this body. It's my home. It's my costume. What does it feel like? Just move the fingers of the costume. Just operate the fingers. I'm controlling this vehicle. Now check the feelings. Where are my feelings at the moment? Step back from the feelings. Just observe them. Step back from yourself. Can you do that? You might be from Russia or from China or from Japan, but that's your role. Step back from the role. Move out of the box. Be aware of who you are. I am an eternal being of light. I live forever. I am a child of God. I am peace. Accept it. Acknowledge it. Accept it. Affirm it for yourself. Don't let Maya creep in and offer you an alternative viewpoint. Now feel yourself as that energy. All together now, just draw in all the senses, all the energy towards the center of the forehead. All of us together. Be aware of the vibration in the room. The collective energy that we're all creating together. Hold it. Even if it's for a second. Might slip away. Just bring it back. We're not trying to do anything. We're just remembering who we are and being it. We're not going anywhere. We're not thinking about anything. We're just being still. Just enjoy it. This is where we connect. This is Bubba's space. Connect to myself. This is the door to Bubba. Hold it. Be aware of the space. It's very subtle. See the space, the silence. Wait for the gap and then move into it. Open the door so that Bubba can come in. Feel Bubba coming into that space. Bubba's very subtle, very loving. He's touching us very gently with his consciousness. We are his children. When we remember Bubba, he is bound to come to us. This is what he said. So let's draw him towards us. Invoke him. This is remembrance. Very natural, very easy. This is a relationship. We belong. We belong to God. So let's allow God in. Don't intellectualize it. It is not an intellectual exercise. It's not for analysis. It's an experience. Just allow Bubba's love to totally blanket your soul. Become absorbed in that love. To do this, I have to have a big heart. Open the heart right up. Expose yourself to God. Give him your heart. Feel it growing. Not tight, not constricted, open, clean, and Bubba will come in. Let Bubba's love wash over the soul, healing, empowering. Love is so desperately needed by us now. take Baba's love. Fill up. And then give that love through your vibrations. Let it pour out of your vibrations into the room. Let's fill this room with so much love. So it's tangible experience. It's real. We can taste it. Share that love with your family around you. Now send that love out to those beyond these four walls. Brahmins are bestowers. We are the angels. We are the helpers of God.